Dear brothers and sisters, from today, from tomorrow is the long-awaited 2025 Manmin Summer Retreat. It's a time of healing, answers, and blessings, a time of grace where you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit and restore the love of the Lord. God is prepared to give and pour out good things to His children like a waterfall. Are you ready to receive it? May you realize what's lacking in your Christian life. You know, some people, they attend the summer retreat, they attend a place of grace, and they receive that grace. But then when they return home, they lose that grace. And why would that be? It's because they haven't prepared their vessels to receive the grace. You know, in a place of grace, you know, there are people that don't prepare themselves and still receive grace. But when they return home, they end up forgetting it. They end up losing the grace. And it's, of course, it can be because they have a soil like, you know, the path-like soil or the rocky soil. But even these people can prepare their vessels to, you know, receive the grace and keep that grace. So I hope that you can realize, you know, your inadequacies and quickly transform into what God desires and glorify with great testimonies. And, you know, of course, in order to receive God's blessings, it doesn't just stop at preparing your vessels. Of course, you need to put in the effort and put in the work to receive, to be able to keep the grace. But you also need to be able to, you know, live that Christian life as well. Wherever it is that you may be, you need to rely on God, you need to wait, and you need to fully believe in God's power and have that true faith. The Word of God is alive. For those who believe, the miracles of the Bible are not just written records. They're still manifesting the same way today. When you live your Christian life and you read the Bible, you might realize that, hey, this is what God's like. You know, this is Jesus's works and His ministry. And we can see that, you know, there are some good people in the Bible, good characters. But if you don't see that in real life, it's hard to have spiritual faith. You can read about it all you want, but if there are no testimonies in real life, there are no, you know, God's works visible before you, then it's difficult to receive spiritual faith. You kind of just push it aside and think, you know, all of these God's works were only possible 2,000 years ago during Jesus' time. You know, after Jesus' time, you really just believe in your heart. But that isn't true. God's works are still present and alive today. Matthew 8, verse 13, and Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, it shall be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. You can experience God's works according to your faith. And you need to be able to experience this yourself. You know, Jesus' works, God's works, didn't just stop in Jesus' time. It still continued in the apostles' time after Jesus. So through these words, you need to, you know, pray upon that and use that word so that you can pray for our church to also become like the early churches. You know, instead of just commanding devotion from Christian members, we also need to have that spiritual faith and manifest God's power. So God's works can still be manifested today and in our lives. It's a privilege granted to Christians with true faith. You know, those with true faith, you can see God's works happening. But some people might ask, I surely believe, so why haven't I received an answer? to receive an answer from God, it's not enough to just say, I believe. Based on today's Bible passage, we'll look at three requirements. May this word become life and power, so that whatever you ask, you may receive and become a child who gives glory to God. Dear brothers and sisters, let's first look at today's Bible passage. When Jesus was in Capernaum, crowds of people gathered after hearing news about him. At that time, a paralytic was also brought on a stretcher by four of his friends. He'd heard that Jesus healed every kind of disease and believed. The paralytic began to have hope that he'd be healed if he came before Jesus. But there were so many people that it was impossible to enter the house where Jesus was. You know, this paralytic had to meet Jesus, but in order to meet Jesus, all his friends helped to lay him on a stretcher and bring him towards Jesus or before Jesus. You know, it's not easy to carry someone on a stretcher. But once these friends arrived at the house where Jesus was, there were so many people. There was no way to get through, especially on a stretcher. There was no way to move the crowds. So there was no way to meet Jesus. You know, can you imagine? Like, it's a crowded area and you're trying to make way for a stretcher. It's even more difficult. So same thing, you know, it would be nice if all of these devoted people, the crowds before Jesus, were able to make way and give way to people like the paralytic, but they didn't. So these four friends, they didn't get discouraged. They didn't stop and give up. They had faith. The paralytic also had faith that if they went before Jesus, that they would be healed. So they tried all their might to find a way to go before Jesus. You know, I'm sure back in the day, like 2,000 years ago, I don't think there was a proper stretcher. It was probably, you know, like a cloth or a blanket of some sort to try and carry this paralytic. Even that is a lot of effort. They didn't just, you know, give up and think, hey, we tried. I'm sure God will look at this and heal our friend who's a paralytic. They didn't stop there. And even though it was quite difficult, they tried to find a different way. They didn't give up. Whatever. They tried any way to go before Jesus. And that's because they were devoted. They had hope. They had faith. So what they did was that these friends broke the roof of the house that Jesus was in. They tore open the roof of the house and lowered the paralytic down. And in order to make the paralytic go before Jesus, they realized that they received the wisdom to go to the roof of the house and open it up and lower the paralytic down. And this was possible at the time, as roofs were made of reeds and mud. These men could have thought, can we damage someone else's house? What if dust falls on Jesus while we're removing the roof? There are plenty of reasons not to tear the roof open. But the faith of needing to come before Jesus to receive an answer made all reason disappear. This is the true heart of longing for an answer and sincerely trusting in Jesus. Through this, the paralytic was able to meet Jesus. But you might think, now that you've listened to this example, that you can do the same and push through without looking back. If there's a servant of God in front of you, 2,000 years ago, this was an act of faith. But in nowadays, in 2025, you need to use the Holy Spirit within you and find the answer to your faith. These four friends and the paralytic is not the only way to receive answers. It doesn't mean that if there's a servant of God in this day and age that you have to only hold on to them and that everything will be solved. That isn't true. So you need to be able to discern properly. But when the paralytic met Jesus, no workings took place. So when did an answer come? You know, it's not like the paralytic walked straight away. So when did the answer come? Stated in verse 5, "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, 'Sons, your sins are forgiven.'" And in verse 11, "I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home." That was when the paralytic was healed. That is when God's power went before the paralytic. This account reveals three spiritual conditions for receiving answers through faith. First, mankind must demonstrate faith by establishing a foundation of faith. This refers to general faith, a faith based on knowledge or understanding. So belief that God created the heavens, the earth, and all things by His Word. Belief that all 66 books of the Bible are the Word of God. Belief that Jesus, the Son of God, was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Belief that the Lord Jesus was crucified for our sins and rose again on the third day and ascended into heaven. Following that, belief that the Holy Spirit came to dwell in us. It's an intellectual faith. And this is the general faith from mankind's perspective. You know, simply put, it's like the basic faith, the basic level of faith. But it doesn't mean that you've got the foundation of faith. You've just got the basics. So what you need to do is use that basics and make a foundation. So this is an intellectual faith gained by listening to sermons or reading the Bible. But without this faith, you cannot come to church nor believe in God. You know, this general faith alone cannot give answers. You know, when you listen to it, you might think it's okay, but then when you go home, you end up thinking about God's words and how, you know, God was on His own, that God created the sun and the sky and the clouds and whatnot. So, you know, it's hard to believe when you go back home without that spiritual faith. But some people, you know, a lot of us, we see God's works and we can open our hearts to receive that faith. And when we listen to God's sermons, to God's works, it's easier to receive better faith. Without this faith, then you cannot come to church nor believe in God. So this intellectual faith is the very basics out of the basics. But you still need to have this faith, because without it, you can't come to church. this general faith, like this basic faith, cannot just give answers. When you show actions of faith, it prepares a foundation to receive God-given spiritual faith. And we'll look into this later on as well, but you know, just because you say I believe doesn't mean that you're going to receive answers and blessings. Your I believe must be recognized by God, and that's when you can receive answers and blessings. But from God's perspective, God needs to be able to recognize that, yes, you do believe in me, that, yes, you do believe in my works. And in order for that to happen, we need to have a foundation. And this is a foundation of God-given spiritual faith, showing actions of faith. Then you can receive answers and blessings. So the first thing that we need to do is not doubt. You must have the basic general faith. And then also have actions of faith that's pleased by God. This kind of faith that God wants, I'm not talking about fifth level of faith. You need to have, you know, at least the basics and the basic foundation of the actions of faith. Even in the first level of faith, even in weak faith, God has like a level that God considers is right and needed in order to receive answers and blessings, in order to give blessings and answers. And that is your action of faith within your measure of faith. So the paralytic and his four friends in the passage also had general faith through news about Jesus. They, you know, had faith. They waited that, you know, if they went before Jesus, the paralytic would be able to receive healing. This is general faith. But they didn't stop there. If they had stopped, they wouldn't have been able to receive healing. The friends and the paralytic acted by going to Jesus and actively demonstrated faith by tearing the roof and lowering the paralytic before Jesus. By their actions, they perfected their faith. In other words, they did their best to firmly establish the foundation of faith. You know, don't say that Jesus is, you know, part of God and can manifest miraculous works of power. And instead of just only having the hope to receive healing, which is general faith, they put in the action and they actually went before Jesus. They, you know, they, even though they couldn't get to Jesus at first, they found a way. There was a difficulty, there was a wall, but they overcame that wall by tearing the roof open, which isn't something that normal people do all the time. And this became the foundation of faith. And this was the kind of faith that at their measure of faith, God was pleased. This is the vessel, the kind of vessel to receive answers and blessings. The first part of verse 5, and Jesus seeing their faith, shows that they clearly demonstrated faith through action for Jesus to see. To receive answers of the heart's desires, faith must be shown in a similar way even today. You must display faith through action that's visible before God. You know, God knows and sees everything, even what's deep within our hearts. But that doesn't mean that you don't need to show action because God can see all the way through your heart into your mind. It doesn't mean that, you know, all you need is meditate on whatever it is that you want and God will bless you. You must be able to put in the actions, the effort, physically. You also need to physically say and request before God. Don't kid yourself into thinking that God is God, that God will know everything, even if you don't say anything. If you have faith, you need to show that faith. And that is what God wants. And when we think about our quarterly divine healing meeting, we hear the sermons and we listen to how, you know, we need to have God-given faith, God-given actions, God-pleased actions. And we can see that a lot of the apostles, the men of faith in the Bible, achieved God-pleasing faith, God-pleasing action, God-pleasing foundations. Although it doesn't mean that we need to have the same faith as the apostles and the forefathers of faith in order to receive blessings and answers from God, we need to put in effort according to our faith that's pleasing before God. But sometimes a sick person's relatives forcibly take them to receive prayer. Right now in the Bible, we see that the paralytic, a critical patient, came before Jesus with his friends. But sometimes, you know, a sick person in critical condition, they don't have the faith to come before God. Their relatives bring them by force. And it's difficult to receive an answer when it's forceful. The minimal foundation of faith needed to receive an answer must be prepared by the person who receives the prayer. So this person must believe in God the Creator and understand why Jesus is our Savior. To receive healing, the message of the cross must be your spiritual nourishment. When you have this basic knowledge-based faith and come forward with that foundation, such as demonstrating faith through action, then the work of healing can take place. But don't misunderstand that simply coming forward on your own to receive prayer automatically means you have established the foundation of faith through your action. Just like before, you know, just because you've listened to the message of the cross and have, you know, knowledge-based faith, the basic faith, and have come before God as action, you also need to have one other area. There are cases where people say they believe in God, but still experience accidents or serious illnesses and come to receive prayer. You know, these people might have already listened to the message of the cross and have that basic knowledge, faith. But when they receive prayer, they don't have the answers. These people need to honestly ask themselves, have you faithfully kept the Sabbath and given complete tithes? They're the two minimum commandments that anyone who believes in God must obey. Without practicing these two commandments, it's difficult to receive answers. So when you receive, also when you end up being sick, you're in critical condition, just because you go before, you know, a servant of God to receive prayer doesn't mean that you're going to automatically receive healing. You need to look back on yourself and repent of all the areas that you disobeyed God, whether it be, you know, not keeping the Sabbath day holy, or, you know, borrowing money of people at church, borrowing church members' monies. You know, this is not only a great sin before God, but it's also you know, a great wrong towards the church members as well. Because, you know, things go wrong, you get in debt, and then when you borrow someone else's money, they end up being in debt. This is why God doesn't want church members to lend and borrow money off each other. You know, not only do you have to break the wall of sin with God, you also need to make sure that you correct your wrongdoings with people as well. You need to discern what's God-given faith and what's intellectual faith. Of course, depending on each circumstance and measure of faith, and each person differs, you know, the action of faith that God considers pleasing. So everyone needs to look back on themselves. Don't look at other people. Think about what God wants from you in your measure of faith, in your circumstance. James 2 verse 26 says that faith without works is dead. To have your prayers answered, you must firmly establish a foundation of faith by showing your faith through action. Earnest prayer is necessary. When you receive the call to fast, you should fast. Sometimes you're called to do vowed prayers. You all do good works according to your measure of faith, such as evangelism, service, ministry, and charity led by the Holy Spirit. When you demonstrate faith through action, that's when you lay the foundation of faith from mankind's perspective and receive spiritual faith from above. Brothers and sisters, to receive answers by faith, second, there must be no wall of sin. Verse 5, Jesus seeing their faith said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus knew the laws of the spiritual realm well and first granted forgiveness of sins before giving an answer. Even if you prepare the foundation of faith, there must be no wall of sin between you and God. Isaiah 59, 1 verse 2, "The hand of the Lord is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." Even if you try to build the foundation of faith, it'll be unstable if there's a wall of sin. So what does this mean? Satan can make thoughts of doubt and fleshly reasoning to arise in those with a wall of sin. That's when the foundation of faith trembles. Doubt about receiving answers arises. You know, you might pray, you might be at the Daniel prayer meeting, but you have no faith in receiving answers. Some people during Daniel prayer meetings receive healings and have their pain disappear. But in your perspective, even though you pray and you've got illnesses, they're not healing. You know, you might think that some people receive that feeling of the Holy Spirit, that fire within their body when they pray, but you don't. Some people consider that fire of the Holy Spirit and consider that as faith and say that they're about to be healed. But other people's, they consider, you know, that their pain is getting worse. You need to think back and ask the Holy Spirit and listen to the Holy Spirit as to what's pleasing before God, what to do in order to receive answers and blessings. And some people receive a lot of inspiration through prayer. You know, the Holy Spirit leads you. All you need to do is listen to it. The Holy Spirit might guide you to lend, you know, put out a helping hand serve first. Make peace first. Your action of faith must also coincide with breaking the wall of sin with God. So, you know, sometimes even though you act, you end up doubting in faith. Satan tries to break you down. Satan sees you trying to build the foundation of faith and uses this opportunity to give you thoughts of doubt and fleshly reasoning. If you don't have a wall of sin, Satan cannot touch you. So even though you build that foundation of faith, Satan comes in at the very end and stumbles you so that you cannot make it to the end. When Satan works, you might end up thinking that all the answers that you received previously, that it was just a coincidence. That's what Satan does. You know, Satan tries to make everything as if it was a coincidence. And that's when, you know, Satan stirs up negative thoughts to prevent the foundation of faith from firmly establishing. It becomes difficult to receive answers. To receive answers by faith, there must not be a wall of sin. But some might just get discouraged and think, I've sinned, so God won't answer me. But who among us living in this world is without dust or dirt? As dirt and dust accumulate, you wash your face, you take a shower, and you wash your clothes. It's the same spiritually. Until spirit and whole spirit are fully achieved, you must always strive not to sin and repent if you do sin. 1 John 1 verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John 1 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Relying on these promises, first, confess your sins sincerely before God if there is a wall of sin. By turning away from sin and walking in the light, you can receive forgiveness of all sins by the blood of Jesus. If you strongly establish the foundation of faith without a wall of sin, then you have completed the preparation to receive answers. Of course, more importantly, you need to get rid of that wall of sin between you and God. You know, if there's something that, if there's a wrongdoing before God, you need to, you know, humble yourself and come before you and apologize. It doesn't mean that you go before God and say, God, I'm sorry, you know, I've done this wrong, but the other person's also wrong. That doesn't help at all. When you give excuses, like, you know, you wanted to give tithes, but you were in a financial difficulty, so God, you know my situation, you know this is why I couldn't give complete tithes. These are excuses. It's, you know, it's not true repentance. All God says is to give a tenth of all your earnings. You know, the fact that you couldn't keep that simple commandment is sin. You need to repent completely that you disobeyed God, the God Almighty. You need to, you know, repent completely. Look back on yourself. You can break the wall of sin within that moment straight away. Though it doesn't mean that you're going to receive answers straight away, there is a final condition. and that is to receive spiritual faith as a gift from God. So no matter how well you prepare, you cannot receive an answer if God does not give you spiritual faith. In verse 11, after looking at the paralytic who was lowered from the roof, lying on the stretcher, Jesus said, "I say to you, get up, take your mat, and go home." This faith is neither the paralytic's nor his friends' faith. This is Jesus' own confession of faith. Upon the foundation of faith prepared by the paralytic and his four friends, Jesus added spiritual faith from above. That's when the miracle happened. The man who'd suffered paralysis for many years suddenly got up on his own feet, picked up the mat, and easily walked. You know, the paralytics, of course, usually you are paralyzed, whether it's, you know, half of the body, the top part of the body, the bottom part of the body, or it could be a whole body paralysis. Of course, you know, if this paralytic's legs had not been paralyzed, he would be able to walk, or at least use a cane and, you know, waddle every now and then. But this paralytic laid on a mat and his friends had to carry him, which meant that his legs were paralyzed. But then after Jesus' words, the miracle happened. You gain the assurance that your heart's desires will be fulfilled. So when spiritual faith, firmly believed in the heart, comes down from above, sudden transformation occurs. You know, worry, anxiety, fear, restlessness, and despair vanish. It's important to wait until this spiritual faith comes, that assurance that everything will be fulfilled. Not knowing the spiritual principle, some people act with presumption rather than true faith. And like I said, the first condition and the second condition, you know, like breaking the wall of sin, repenting, finding what's pleasing before God, is there are actions that you continue, that you need to continue to do. And then God will one day give you spiritual faith, will give you that assurance of faith. And just like Job, you'll receive, you know, the gift of true faith and that joy that all will be well. But some people think that, you know, some people act presumptuously and think it's the spiritual leading, but it's not. In the 1960s, there was a healing meeting at a mountain, Samgat Mountain in Korea. And it's like a prayer venue. And a lot of these prayer venues in Korea were in mountains at the time. But during the meeting, a heavy rainstorm broke out. The streams swelled and a rapid current was flowing. Two people who attended the meeting tried to return home first, but were blocked by the swift current. They recalled how Peter walked on water and prayed, "Lord, Peter walked on water, why can't we? Lord, I believe." Then they stepped into the stream but got swept away by the rushing water and died. This tragic incident happened because they lacked spiritual understanding. They didn't demonstrate true faith. They should have waited until God gave them spiritual faith. Instead, they acted according to their own understanding of faith. Peter walking on water was not through personal faith. Peter believed that with Jesus, miracles could happen. It's why he confessed, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Peter laid the foundation of faith, but that didn't immediately give him the ability to walk on water. Only when Jesus said, "Come," was Peter able to walk on the water. Jesus gave Peter the spiritual faith to walk on the water and then demonstrated via actions. Peter saw the wind. But afterwards, when Peter saw the wind, he became afraid and began to sink. In other words, when the foundation of faith laid by Peter wavered and collapsed, the miracle of walking on water also ended. This is the spiritual law. It's important to understand that it's the same requirement when it comes to business, receiving healing, or fulfilling the Lord's will. Do your best to personally build the foundation of faith and simultaneously pray, Father, please grant me spiritual faith from above upon my faith. You must not recklessly push forward with your own thoughts, methods, or plans simply because you prayed or fasted. When difficulties arise, you shouldn't say, I believed, prayed, and fasted, so why didn't anything work? If you sincerely trusted and prayed to the Father from the heart, you also need to wait until spiritual faith comes down from above. It's why patience and self-control are among the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. The time God gifts you with spiritual faith is the time of your answer, like how dry ground soaks up rain. When your heart is filled with the faith that God gives, miracles can happen and every problem can be resolved. Today, we looked at the 3 conditions to receive answers through faith. First, you must lay down the foundation of faith by personally demonstrating your faith. Second, there must be no wall of sin. Third, spiritual faith must come from above. For those who have no wall of sin, the second step gets bypassed and answers come more quickly. When a person lays the foundation of faith, God gives spiritual faith upon that foundation. When these two come together, God's work is like lightning. Those who've achieved spirit, a whole spirit, have no wall of sin, and the foundation of faith is well prepared. 1 John 3, verses 21 to 22. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. When the foundation of faith is in place and you continually pray and serve for God's kingdom, then answers are swiftly received. It's having that foundation of faith, which means, you don't have a wall of sin. So God sees that and blesses you straight away. It's like having savings in a bank. You know, you withdraw what you need whenever the need comes. When someone who has maintained a strong foundation of faith prays, Father, I need this, the Father God can reply with a yes and immediately grant the request. A soul that is well prospered means that God answers prayer requests according to each person's need. It's not only through loud prayer meetings or fasting that you receive answers. Sometimes a single prayer, or even just holding a desire in your heart, brings about a response. To receive greater answers relating to the kingdom of God, it's not enough for just one person to build a foundation of faith. Of course, if it's a personal request, then yes. But if it's, something that requires teamwork, then like a departmental issue, then all department employees must unite. For a parish, the entire parish must come together. For church-wide prayer topics, the whole church must build the foundation of faith together. I pray that you will deeply understand this spiritual principle so that every prayer request you hold may be answered and bring glory to God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that each one of your prayer requests will be swiftly answered through this year's Mammy Summer Retreat.
Hallelujah, our Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses, go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases, and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pains go away, including backache, headache, and nausea. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerated. Make the dead revived. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to the glory of God, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.